Hello, this is John McGovern with Dennis Hall here with World Wrestling Resource. This is our weekly coaches conference call sponsored by Defense Soap. Each session will cover a topic related to wrestling, and then for about 10 to 20 minutes, and then we'll give our World Wrestling Resource members a chance to call in for questions. Starting out, the topic for today is going to be how to teach mental toughness in wrestling. And Dennis Hall, you're a great example of mental toughness. Wanted you to just cover a little bit of what you do to help get mentally, help your wrestlers get mentally ready.
I think first of all is you know, in the practice room, you got to preach mental toughness in the practice room every single day. If kids are banged up or they're hurt or they got a little boo boo, you got to call them out on it and say, "Hey, come on, push through it, fight through it." That's the first way. You know, you build the atmosphere in the wrestling room so guys know what to expect, and then after that, there's a bunch of different things that I like to do to get kids thinking the right way. I have them write down affirmations. And the affirmations are basically how you want to wrestle, the mentality you want to think when you're on a wrestling mat. Some of my affirmations when I was competing, was I'm the first one back to the center. I will make first contact. I got the best gut wrench in the world. My parterre defense, nobody can turn me. You know, I got the best high dive in the world and can score on anybody with it at any time. I always get to the body and throw. You know, those are examples of my affirmations, and I talk to my kids about affirmations on every day. So for me, I think that's where you can start in the wrestling room. I had, when I was coaching up at Northern Michigan for the United States Olympic Education Program, I had all my athletes write down their affirmations, and then I told them to read them 2 to 3 times a day. I said, and the reason I have them reading them that much is the more you read something, the more you believe it. And your affirmations don't have to be true when you start out, but hopefully by the end of a season or end of a career, it'll become true.
And you said you taught mental toughness by teaching wrestlers how to push through the mental part. Talk to us about how you mentioned BZ Hendricks once in your training, and how he helped you anchor yourself. Talk about anchoring when you're competing or in practice, how that helps you focus and what that is.
Okay, anchoring, BZ helped me out a lot with this. He'd have me grab my, it would be my left thumb and put it inside my fingers. He'd have me watch videotape when I was wrestling, and when I did something great, I'd squeeze my thumb, and somehow it connected it to a feeling of power. And once I was able to watch a bunch of tape and see different positions where I was powerful, anytime I grabbed my thumb, it helped me feel powerful in a match. You know, it helped me bring me back to what I was trying to do, and that's, you know, beat my opponent, and it would actually calm me down a little bit and make me feel stronger at the same time. And I think the anchoring part is a huge deal. A lot of times guys get out of focus in practice or even in matches, and by grabbing my thumb, that would bring me back to where I felt powerful and in control, and it would make me realize, okay, it's okay. Don't worry about what just happened. Just go focus on what you're going to do to this guy.
Yeah.
So that's how I use anchoring.
Yeah, that anchoring. Did you use that in the World Championships or in the Olympics?
If you watch tapes, I mean, you see me grab my left thumb all the time. You know, I used it in matches and practice. I mean, I did it in practice because then it trained me to do it in matches.
And you said a lot of wrestlers, obviously, they get nervous the night before they go to bed. What did BZ Hendricks say to you the night before you went to bed before the Olympics? What were you supposed to focus on?
Yeah, he just said focus on the thing that you need to do, you know. He goes, all the preparation is done. You're ready. You just got to go out there tomorrow and compete. One thing, I had a hard time sleeping when I was getting ready for the 96 Olympic Games. It was probably 3-4 months out, and I was telling BZ that I couldn't sleep, and he's like, Dennis, he goes, we went through everything that I was doing to make sure I wasn't overtraining and my body wasn't wearing down on me. And we found out that nothing was physically wrong with me, and he had me ask myself one question every night before I went to bed. He goes, Dennis, he goes, ask yourself this one question. Did you do everything that you could do to win an Olympic title? And if the answer is yes, close your eyes and go to bed and have a great night's sleep. If the answer is no, get up, go to the gym, and do what you're supposed to do. So for me, you know, it's a big deal. I think you got to look in the mirror every night when you go to bed and ask yourself that same question. You know, I have my athletes do it, and hopefully it helps some of them out. I know there were times where I had to get back out of bed in 1996 and go do something, but wasn't too many. But, you know, when you prepare the right way, you have a lot more self-confidence and a lot more mental toughness, I guess.
Yeah, and BZ Hendricks, it sounds like he started coaching you in 1993. In 92, you won your first national title. You won 10 national titles. You helped you on the national scene. You talked a little bit about coaching and communicating with the athlete, being not going too much technique by technique, but kind of the, you said some of the, you know, base words that you used, you know, first contact, defense heavy, angle, move feet, level change. Talk to coaches as well as athletes why that helps you focus as an athlete on a general level.
I think as a coach or an athlete, you need to keep the word simple, because your athlete can't, by the time you yell something instructive to your athlete step by step, the move's gone. So he just wanted me, you know, I had a list of words that I had for him where when he was in my corner, he'd yell feet, and that would mean my feet are staying still. I got to move them to create angles. You know, there might be a time where I'm hanging in one position a little bit too long and yell angle, and that means change the position and look for a different guy to score. You know, heavy. If I'm out there fighting and I wasn't heavy with my hands, he'd yell heavy, and that would remind me to be heavier and work on my snaps. You know, when I'm in parterre defense, it was heavy or movement. You know, those two keywords were all that he yelled at me when I was in parterre defense. Parterre offense was go, you know, just because you keep going, you'll find a way to score. So
that was what you used at
the
world level. Words
that helped. Yeah, I didn't need to be told step by step what to do. I need to be told little things to keep me on my train of thought as far as attacking.
How would you say that difference for college coaches, high school coaches, or youth coaches? Same approach?
You know, you might yell a little bit more, you know, but I think high school and college, it's very similar. You know, yell a couple things. You know, your athletes, by the time they're in high school, they should have a pretty good foundation. You might have to yell a little more in high school, but by the time they get to college, they should be on their own and be able to yell a couple things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. And really, most of the preparation is done in the training. So you help the athlete to focus. What else did BZ, you talked about, BZ talked about making sure to hustle back to center and then peeking back to the coach just in case they see something. But that routine in itself, how did that help you focus by hustling back? What was the mental edge that you gained by hustling back to the center?
Mental edge is guys thinking I'm in great shape, even though I'm dead tired, I'm beating them back to the center. And I think it wears on a guy mentally, thinking this guy's not human. How can he be tired? Well, reality is I was just as tired as him, but I hustled back to the center. You know, so it kind of plays with the guy's mind. But at the same time, I'd hustle back to the center and I'd look to my corner. I was trained to look at the corner every time I got to the center. That way, if the coach saw anything, he could yell one thing. Maybe it was yell. He might yell out angle, or he might yell level change, or he might yell heavy or something. You know, just to give me the direction that I needed.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about
that to my kids all the time. There's no reason why you can't beat your opponent back to the center. You know, it's all about discipline, and discipline builds mental toughness.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, talk a little bit about when you're training. You talked about visualization, what you're visualizing when you're doing your strength training or your workouts. Talk a little
bit
about
that. I did some visualization of being on the podium and getting medals around my necks and that type of stuff, visualized me wrestling foreign opponents. But I took it kind of a step further. Like when I'd run my sprint program at the track, I'd picture, you know, all the guys in my weight class that I knew I'd have to beat at the Worlds or Olympics. I'd picture them running side by side with me, and they never beat me to the finish line on the track. You know, when I'm in the weight room doing pull-ups during lift, and I'd see my opponent's face on the other side of the on the top of the bar. You know, I wasn't going to let him beat me. You know, when I'm in the wrestling room, I change my opponent's face that I was training against sometimes. And, you know, he's a German, he's a Russian, he's a Cuban, you know, and that way when I saw those guys in competition, it wasn't like it was, you know, they didn't scare me anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to prepare mentally and practice as well as physically for the battle. Now, talk about, there's almost a book written with pre-match routines, kind of started by Beezy, but it's really kind of based. You're in there quite a bit in his book, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah. He helped me out with the pre-match routine. You know, I started working with him, and we found out right away that I didn't have a good pre-match routine. My mind would wander. I'd catch myself thinking about opponents wearing, and that would waste a lot of my energy, nervous energy. And so we changed that. Probably that was one of the first things we did, is change the way I warmed up and got ready for matches. You know, he had me write down a list of things that I do before my match, and then we tweaked it. And eventually what it ended up being is I do some tumbling, I do some jogging at first, do some sprints, and do stretching. And after the stretching was over, I grabbed my training partner, the guy that I was with at the tournament, and we drilled for 10 to 15 minutes. And it was a hard drill. It was I'd go, he'd go, I'd go, he'd go, you know, and we'd do it over, you know, drill for 10 to 15 minutes pretty hard, really getting a good sweat. And then after that, we do a match. We do a regular match. And this all occurred an hour outside of when I knew I was going to be up. So that way I'd have 40 minutes to rest, roughly 35, 40 minutes to rest for recovery. We do that match, and that match was high intensity. That match was, I'm trying to tear the guy's head off, and you know, I treated it as my first match of the tournament, because as you know, as a coach, a lot of your guys, you know, if they don't have a good warm-up their first match, they're flat, and sometimes they get knocked off. So I wanted to make sure that didn't happen, because at the Worlds, you don't get a chance sometimes if you get beat early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your warm-up routine is pretty detailed. I kind of wrote some of it down. Do you mind if we share that on our worldwrestlingresource.com site to our members?
No problem. Whatever can help.
Now, let's use the can you discuss your we talked about, can you teach mental toughness? You want to talk about that a little bit, teaching and training.
You know, I think you got it. As a coach, you got to teach mental toughness in your room. You know, people say, oh, the guy's either mentally tough or he's not. I've seen a lot of kids that I've coached, because I coach at the youth level on a daily basis. That's my job. I see a lot of kids get a lot mentally tougher just by staying on them, riding them, pushing them. You know, you got to know when to push them and when to back off. But there are times where kids just need that push. They want to fight. They want to get tougher mentally. They don't want to be the guy that loses because he quits on himself. You know, so I think things you have to do is you have to get them uncomfortable in practice. You got to put them in some longer goals. You know, this year for my kids' club, we did a lot of five-minute goals for my kids' club. And the reason I did that is I wanted them to feel how it feels to be when you're wrestling tired. You know, a lot of times people get tired and they fold. So to me, I want to teach guys at a young age that, hey, you're not going to die by going hard. you can fight through it and you can find a way. And I'd always work on encouraging the guy that's getting beat up a little bit. Hey, come on, you're going to take that? Get back up. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. You know, and I think you build mental toughness in the room, and you build it by doing things that other people ain't doing. You know, I got a great sprint program that I had in 1992, and I used it through my wrestling career. It's an eight-week program. First week is 3 800s. And what you do is you multiply the amount of time that it took you to do the sprint. You multiply that by 3, and that's your rest period. Then after that, you go do your second and your third 800. And that's how the whole sprint program ends up working.
Yeah, that's
so
a great program.
Are you
stretching in between those sprint workouts? You're after 800, is your rest in 3? You're stretching.
I'm just walking. I'm walking and just staying focused.
You know, well, that's on our worldwrestlingresource.com. That cycle, I've used that with my college guys. Great program. And then you had one of the most memorable matches in Olympic trials history with Paulson. It lasted over an hour. Is that about right? An hour, was it, Dennis?
One second. Yes. Can you say that again, please?
Your match with Paulson in the trials. How long was that match?
16 minutes, 54 seconds.
Talk about what your mindset was in that match.
In the match, I knew it was going to be a tough match. We ended up going 3 matches at the Olympic trials. And I remember when the first overtime ended and the score was tied. And I remember looking at Brandon and saying, hey, what happens? He goes to me, I don't know. You know, so we're waiting for ref to come back to the center. And he goes, okay, guys, we're not going to decide the match. You're going to decide it. And right when he told us, he goes, it's unlimited overtime. Right at that moment, I set my mental clock for an hour. I said, it might take me an hour to score a point. So I set my mental clock for an hour, and then we kept wrestling. And I almost scored on him a few times. He almost scored on me. And, you know, kept battling. And finally, I broke him. Not broke him,
that
just got him out of position.
And that's where all your mental toughness and all your mental training really comes in, because you were saying, "Hey, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to. I'm gonna go the distance. I'm gonna break this guy." I mean, basically, your mindset, everything even.
I mean, that's got to be the mindset. There's no other option. The other option is to lose.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I had put in the work to know I could go an hour. I had done grind matches before, so it didn't surprise me. I mean, I was expecting Foley to go for about 30, 40 minutes. You know, I don't know what his mindset was, but that was my mindset.
Right. And Paulson, maybe he went that, but he maybe didn't set his mind on that. He might have said it because competition is sometimes different. And all those preparations you did, you knew to work, have your mind ready for anything. How many world teams were you on, Dennis?
I was on 7 world teams and 3 Olympic teams.
How important was that mental preparation on those world teams and Olympic teams?
Yeah, you know, I think the mental preparation, it just prepares you for what might happen at the World or Olympic Championships. You know, I think if you ain't mentally prepared for what can happen, there was a time in 1995 when I won my world title where they told me I was done for the session, and I had 1 foot on the bus, and they tell me I got to wrestle. I was just called to a mat, so I had to throw on my singlet, my wrestling shoes, and wrestle in 2 minutes. So, I mean, you got to prepare for everything, and that's part of mental toughness, dealing with adversity.
Well, thanks, Dennis, for your time. For World Wrestling Resource members, we're going to end this call. You can call in with your questions later. Thanks, everyone else, for listening. And thanks for Defense Soap, our sponsor of the first weekly coaches conference calls.